And we started out this morning talking about dads and just looking at, you know, some of the instructions to dads. And tonight we're going to look at a dad. And so what do you think one of the, you know, like say, if you had to pick like from creation to where we are now, what do you think like one of the most important things that's happened has been from creation till now? Jesus. Absolutely. You know, Jesus coming. Jesus, the incarnation. And then, you know, his death on the cross and his resurrection. It's huge, you know. But he had to have a life before he could have a death on the cross and a resurrection. So, you know, it just always so amazes me the way that God so sovereignly just, you know, said, I'm going to choose Mary to be his mother. And I'm going to choose Joseph to be his adopted dad. And, you know, it's like a lot of times we really focus heavily on Mary. And obviously it says in the Bible that for all generations they're going to call her blessed, right? We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1 and just thinking about Joseph's place in this. He had a big place in this as well. And to be a dad. And I've talked about Joseph a few times because I just think about the position that he held in this thing. I mean, this was a very precarious position. Can you imagine being Jesus' adopted dad, you know, the Son of God, and you're the guy who's supposed to be helping to take care of him on earth, you know? And I know, you know, it took the power of God through Joseph to do this, but also, you know, I mean, Joseph's side of this matter, he had decisions to make, and he had a role to play and cooperation in all of this and everything, you know. And in the meantime, he was doing life. We know they had more children together because his brothers and sisters are spoken of later on. And so you think, you know, Joseph was just like, he was sort of a regular Joe. He was a regular guy who was living, working, supporting his family, loving his wife, taking care of things. I'm sure that he and his wife had struggles, you know, learning how to communicate and all that stuff. I mean, I'm sure they were regular people like us, you know. But God had chosen him for a very, very special task. So let's just look at his place in all this, starting in verse 18. Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Okay, so they're betrothed to be married. They're not married fully yet. It means they have not consummated the marriage. And so she comes, it's discovered that she's with child. And so I'm sure you've probably thought about that before. What would he automatically think? That she had another man in her life, right? Would automatically think that. It would be impossible not to automatically think that, you know, because that's how it works in the natural world. So she was found with child, and of course it says we understand from our perspective of the Holy Spirit, because we know the account from Luke as well. But we look at what Joseph was trying to handle it. Being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example. What would it have meant to make her a public example? They would have had to bring her before the council, announce her adultery, supposed adultery. Well, in this you know, particular situation, this was not a natural occurrence. This was a supernatural occurrence, and so it would have been totally false. And yet, had this been discovered or pushed, and it would have been a public example, she would have been stoned to death. She was put in a very unusually hard position as well to carry this because, I mean, you can even see in Jesus' lifetime, whenever the Pharisees started coming back at him, there was actually a time whenever they were locking horns and he was calling them out for who they were and talking about who their father was. And they said, hey, we know who our father is. And I think that was a snide comment saying, you don't even know who your dad is. I think they were like holding on to this thing for many years to come and not letting go of this. And yet, you know, this couple, they went on to just live it for God. They were living for more than just themselves. They lived for God's will. Because if we continue to read on, we get to see that he was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean?
Savior.
God is salvation, just literally. It's the same as Joshua. The Hebrew would be like Yeshua. And so you have Yahshua or Yeshua. They both mean the same thing. God is salvation, right? How wonderful is that? Mm-hmm. For he will save his people from their sins. So right there, it's revealed to Joseph what the whole reason for sending him is. It's not to free them from the Romans. It's not to free them from earthly oppression. It's to free them from the oppression of sin. How beautiful is that? And so he got to see, like, you know, one of the first revelations that coincided with the Old Testament understanding of why Messiah would come. And it was kind of hard to understand in some of the Old Testament scriptures, you know, exactly how this whole thing was going to work out. But it's being clearly shown to him in a dream. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, this is the part that I have, you know, very emphasized in my heart that I want to model. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. So what did he do? Immediate obedience. You know, immediate obedience. I think that the real joys and the people that God really uses are the ones who are willing to immediately obey him. If we drag our feet for a long time, you know, is that really obedience? If we go, well, not today, what are we saying? We're saying no for today, right? And we've talked about this before, and I just want to look at it again because I think he is a great example to us of what a dad, a good leader in his family, will be like. It's like we hear God, we're walking closely enough with him that we understand that it's him speaking to us. You know, we don't go off on whims, we don't go off on crazy trails and weird thoughts, but when we know God is showing us something about what we need to do with our family and with our children, that we do it. Whenever it's clear. How can it be most clear? When we read it in Scripture, for one, God has spelled it out for us how we raise our children, the things that we should value. You read through Proverbs and over and over and over again, you can see the dad giving advice to his son. And then at the end, we see his mom speak into it as well. It's very important that we listen to God. We believe God, that we're walking closely enough with God. And the number one thing that will make us a good dad is when we know it's God, we obey immediately. And it's going to be very important that Joseph continue to do this because they had some challenges ahead of them, right? They had some big challenges ahead of them. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. I love that part. The scribes understood. They did. They got it. The Holy Spirit had shown them, and yet they didn't go there looking for him. Isn't that interesting? So we have kings that have come from the east, or wise men that have come from the east, and they want to see that what has happened, and they go to the scribes and they say, where should he have been born? Oh, well, he's over. He, you know, if he's come, he'll be over there. And so they didn't offer to, like, go with them. You would have thought they would have went, hey, maybe this really has happened. Let us go with you. But instead, they said, you can go. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, then they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So think about it. Had he hesitated, you know, had he not immediately obeyed, the danger that was involved there that he couldn't even yet see. I mean, he just had to believe God and move immediately according to believing God and believing his word. You know, what an amazing thing. I mean, like, he left by night. He left them. We get the picture. He left immediately. He said, pack it up, sweetie, because we're gone. You know, grab Jesus. We got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he believed more than what the scribes themselves did. And so, you know, it's very, very interesting. But it was imperative that Joseph believe. And we see immediate belief, immediate obedience. And I will say that we prove that we obey God when we obey. It's one thing to say, you know, yeah, I believe. The scribes kind of believe, but not enough to really do anything about it, right? Not even to go and check. You'd have thought, because, like, from 2 years old and on, so, like, Jesus could have been up to 2 years old here at this point, you know? And he could have been younger. Maybe the star appeared earlier to give these guys a chance to make it there or whatever. But what we're understanding from this is, like, there were signs from heaven 2 years in advance. And the scribes weren't doing anything about it. And yet we see that Herod believed and Joseph believed. It caused them to do way different things. Way different things. It depends on who we're living for, right? Do you know Herod, as a dad, he was such a terrible dad, he actually killed at least one of his sons, if not multiples of his sons, who threatened his throne. You know, so you see the contrast between him and Joseph. Yeah. I mean, it was really, really sad. What we see. And why was Herod like that? Because he wouldn't even put up with the son who threatened his happiness or his desire, his kingdom. And we have Joseph that's willing to drop everything and go to Egypt, right? And what a Which one do we want to be like? Do we want to be like Herod that's protecting ourselves? Are we going to be like Joseph and we're just going to believe God and we're going to act upon it very quickly? Yeah, there wasn't any room in Herod's heart for another king, and so we have to make sure we make room for the king in ours, right? Mm-hmm. Sister Sharon? Yeah, that's the thing, you know, we're faced with a lot of different challenges in life, and it's always the right choice to choose to follow God, just to do what he says. We can see how he was immediately lining things up. He knows the whole picture from the beginning to end, and we only see this little part of the dash as we're going along, you know. And so we really have to trust him. Look, well, well, the Bible actually says that anything that's not done of faith is sin. And so, you know, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, let's continue read on there to the end of the chapter. Now, when Herod was dead, verse 19, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life were dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So, God had foretold it. God had already planned it. And Joseph was the one that he chose to use. Joseph had his personality in the midst of all of it, that he was aligning with God's will, and God was doing this his divine plan and working out through him. Don't we want to be willing participants in God's perfect plan in us? I'd much rather be a willing participant of God doing what he wanted to do through me, what he plans to do through me, or even what he's going to do through me. And then I would be able to receive the benefit of walking with him in agreement as he does it, you know? I think it's just a beautiful picture of, like, I don't know. I guess he's like one of my favorite dads out of the Bible. There's a lot of great dads, and I love them all. But, like, Joseph really has a special place in my heart, you know? The way that he has received God's will in his life, and he just carried it out. And the Bible's pretty quiet about the rest of his life. We don't see a lot, other than the fact that they lost Jesus at one point, and even there, they went back and they found him, you know. I can imagine being Joseph in that too, you know. Man, I've been given this huge task, and now I've lost him. So, nonetheless, just a humble servant, I think, is what Joseph was. We don't hear a lot of fanfare about him. We don't hear. That's because, guys, it ain't about us anyways. It's really all about God. Yeah. You know, and what we need to do is we just need to be willing for God to use us. And I pray that we don't get the credit for it, because I think greater our reward will be in heaven, really. You know? I mean, you think about it. How awesome will that be? I really would like to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, whenever it comes time to stand before the Lord. And, not that it, by any means I think that I can reach moral perfection this side of heaven, but I think we need to be striving to sin less and to get more in line with God's will. And so learning to listen to God, be attentive to His voice, and be sensitive, I think, to His will, I think is really what I see in that. And, we don't see God knocking him over the head and making him just wake up in Egypt, you know. We see God, you know, sending an angel in a dream to tell him, and his heart being so soft and open to God's will that he just went. He went immediately, you know. And we see otherwise in the Bible, too. You know, we see the story of Jonah. We just started Jonah in our youth Sunday school. Man, that guy had to go through a lot before he finally decided to follow through with God's will, right? And even then, he was very reluctant in it. And, we see other ones who are a lot more reluctant about doing God's will. You know, some of them, you know, like Balaam, he wound up, we find out later on, he actually kind of still brought a curse on himself. He was the one that the donkey spoke to, you know, because the angel of the Lord was standing in the road to stop him from sinning against the Lord. And the donkey, you know, that's an interesting story, isn't it? That's really a good one. The donkey said, "Hey, how long have you had me as your donkey? Have you not had me many years? And have I ever not done what you wanted me to?" Trying to protect you, dummy. It's kind of interesting. You'd think that would definitely get your attention. But I can tell you, Balaam, he won him a place in the memory part of the Bible, because all the way down in Revelation, you're seeing it being called the sin of Balaam. And the prophet's madness. He had encountered God several times in different ways, and even had a donkey speak to him, and he still went against God's will. And so you think about that. I sure don't want to make the record book like that, you know. I'd much rather be this one that maybe isn't even mentioned, but you show up and Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now come and enter into the time of rest." So, praise God. God bless you all. So, I want to be a dad like Joseph. I'm trying to learn. It's a lifetime experience. I'm seeing that. You know, just learning to be patient, learning to be sensitive, and appreciating the children. And we're going through the process of possible adoption right now, you know, and we can... There's like no barrier in my heart thinking that child is going to be anything less than like one of my biological children to me, you know. And that used to be hard for me to understand exactly how a person would feel like that. But they're taking us through the foster child program, you know, and everything in this. And it keeps talking about, you know, if and when the child goes back to their biological parents. And I'm like, you know, I mean, if that's God's will, I would be okay with that. But really, that isn't what, you know, we're understanding our goal to be. Our understanding our goal to be to open our home and accept this child as ours, you know, completely. And so, if that's what God's will is, then that's what we intend to do. So, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear God, we want to thank you. Thank you for dads. Thank you for being our awesome Heavenly Father. We'll find a little more about Joseph said in the Gospel, where we see that Jesus got left behind in Jerusalem. But besides that, we don't know a whole lot more about him. But I believe we're going to get eternity to get to know him better. And so look forward to that. Wonderful man. I see a gentle husband, a gentle father. One that you groomed and picked for that very task, and just put in him a willingness to follow you, and he agreed with you and followed you. And so, Lord, that's what you call us to be like as well. So help us to be more like that each and every day. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you that even when we mess up, and I'm sure Joseph messed up sometimes, he was a human being. Thank you that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So help us, Lord, to be quick to be humble with you when we have sinned. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us as dads that are in the room to be good leaders in our families. It took a lot of leadership to get your whole family up at night and say, that's it, come on, we're going to Egypt. We don't get to see the whole picture, how that all worked out, but we know that it had to be a huge upheaval through their lives. Seemed dangerous even, but it was a whole lot more dangerous to disobey you and stay. You knew, and you had a plan. And so, Lord, I pray that we trust you that way in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming tonight.